Hello and welcome, and thank you for listening. You are listening to the Luke Miller Podcast. That's right, you have heard it right from my mouth. This is the Luke Miller, and I am the Luke Miller. Of course, that definite article at the beginning of this statement tells you that I am really the original Luke Miller. And the next 30 minutes are going to talk. I'm going to be talking to you about just why I believe I am the original Luke Miller. And so I hope you're just up for a journey down the history of Luke Millers in the world and why I believe that I am, in fact, the Luke Miller. Of course, this is not what we're talking about. I am coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan this day as we are now, I guess, on episode 3 of this podcast. And we've been looking at what it means for us to not only answer the call of where God is sending us, but really trying to say, how do we recognize some of the pieces to what makes us a church on mission? And first of all, we looked at what it means for us to proclaim and how proclamation is first and foremost one of the key aspects of being a church on mission. Not only proclaiming the gospel from the pulpit or on a Sunday or in our Sunday school lessons, but for us as we go out the doors, that proclamation is a very important part of our lives. And in the second episode, we took a look at how the Bible needs to be a normative part of our lives. Again, not just that Sunday morning we read from Scripture, we studied Scripture, but an actual active part of our lives day in and day out. And we continue this by saying, what is God's calling in our life? And how do I know when God is calling me? And what does that calling look like for us as a church, but also for us as individuals? I'm sure some of you listening may remember the old Batman series, and there was that phone in Commissioner Gordon's office, that red phone, and when the red phone rung, like, it was an important phone call, right? And you had to answer that call, just like when the bat signal went up in the sky. You knew, and Batman knew, that it was a call that had to be answered. And you can think of all sorts of different callings in life. You can think of all sorts of different ways in which you have been called in life. But this morning I want to even look more so as what it means for us to be called by God and recognize that calling. And be open to going where God is calling us. I think that's one of the key distinctions. Often we can recognize that God is calling us somewhere, but are we truly open to go there? And it can be anything from just talking to the neighbor next door, having a chat with someone that you haven't talked to in a while, or it could be something bigger where God is calling you on short-term missions or long-term missions or something even greater. And so we are asking the question today of who's calling. I guess the best way to think of it, and maybe it's just because I'm sports-minded, is the bullpen in a baseball game, right? That the coach picks up the phone and is making the call. And when he gets that call, he has to answer it. He knows he's getting called. Yet what happens if the phone in the bullpen rings, and it's just the bat boy. And the bat boy's making the call and saying, hey, you're in the game now. How do you think we're going to react to that call? How do you think the person in the bullpen warming up is going to react to that call? Are they going to come running out with full force? I've just been called into the game. I'm sure the coach is doing something very busy, but, you know, I'm the bat boy. Or I talk to the bat boy, and I'm sure he has the same authority. It's different, right? There's this discerning moment where you have to realize, is this truly a call from God? Or is this something that even I'm just wanting in my own life? And I think we give more credibility to the caller depending on their position. If we get a call from someone identifying themselves as law enforcement in the middle of the night, telling us something with authority, we listen very closely and we pay attention. If we're listening to a doctor give us a diagnosis, we pay very important attention. So what happens when God, that call from God comes? What is our response? And sometimes we turn and we run away as fast as we can. Other times, we can say we probably embrace the call. And what I want to just briefly look at, and if you know me by now, when I say briefly, it's probably saying over the next half an hour. But as we briefly look at the story of David and how David became king of Israel and see how he even moved to the capital city of Jerusalem, it tells us a lot about the call on the life of David from God. If we look at the scenario, Israel had been engulfed in a civil war. King Saul was dead, and the last of his surviving relatives, Ishbosheth, was fighting David and his army for control of Israel. And in chapter 4, we find out that Ishbosheth dies. Now this leaves David the man of the hour. Now it's his time to rule Israel. And we find out several things from David's life and God's calling on David's life. And the first has to do just simply with the call of God. See, understanding this is also understanding that some 20 years earlier or so, God had chosen David to be king of Israel. And to understand this process, we have to first understand the events behind Israel getting a king in the first place. When God delivered the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, he was going to be their king. God was going to be their king. God would be the king of Israel. And for a long time, this was the case. But after a while, the people of Israel wanted a king like everybody else. They wanted to be like their neighbors. They wanted to look like their neighbors. They wanted to have that palace like their neighbors. They wanted to have all of the things that came along with all of Israel's neighboring countries. God wasn't really happy about this, so he gave them Saul as their king. And Saul was given as a judgment. As Saul went along, he walked further and further away from God. And then, in 1 Samuel 16, we find that the prophet Samuel goes out and anoints David as king of Israel. But here's the crux of the problem, is that Saul is still alive. And this is where we see God calling David. In 1 Samuel 16, we read the account of how Samuel, under the direction of God, chose David to be king. And in the next chapter, we find David fighting the giant Goliath. Do you see how quickly that happened? How it went from God's calling of David, the shepherd working out in the fields, to in the next chapter, David fighting Goliath? God had called David to be king, but he also had to wait 20 years before he actually became king. Saul knew his days were numbered, and he tried to kill David on several occasions. David, though, had a lot of respect for Saul. He knew that God had placed a call in his life, and he was patient to wait for God's timing. And I think that's something that's important for us to realize, is not only do we have to see God's calling, but we also have to be patient for God's timing. Now, of course, none of this seems more real than it does to me right now. And in this timing of life, as I'm waiting for immigration to come through, as I stare at, although I don't have a red phone case, I think of it as a red phone waiting for that phone call that says U.S. immigration, that says it's time to move. And yes, I have thought of all the times and of all the places, God, why did you have to teach me patience in the winter in Saskatchewan when I could see California in the distance, right? And I can really understand that. I mean, and this is over 5 months. Not David had to wait 20 years for this. And this is over 5 months in my life. And so I'm only getting a snippet, I think, of what David was really dealing with as he waited 20 years to fulfill the role that God had called on his life. And so he knew God had placed this call in his life, but he was patient for his timing. We see that the leaders of Israel said in verse 2 of our passage, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. David had been a great warrior and leading during the times that Israel was having skirmishes with their neighbors. And in verse 10, it tells us, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with them. God placed this call on the life of David, and he remained with them. God calls us, right? And I need us to make that distinction that the God who is speaking to David is the God who's speaking to us, and recognize that. So do we recognize that? Do we fully believe that this is the red phone ringing and God calling us? And even more so, if it's anything, it's an encouragement that the red phone that is ringing and God calling us is that same red phone that was calling David as God called him to be king. The same God who did all of these things and called all the greats of the Old Testament and of the Bible before us is the God who's calling us in our individual ministry, wherever that may be. Now, just a couple days ago, and you'll have to bear with me because this is a hockey analogy. Just a couple days ago, the Toronto Maple Leafs were playing a team, Carolina Hurricanes. It was in Toronto, and they were playing in the first period, and the Carolina Hurricanes goalie went down with an injury. And so, of course, they bring in the backup. And the backup comes in, and what do you know? About 10 minutes later into the game, the second goalie goes down injured. So here you have a team that only carries two goalies. Every team only brings two goalies with them when they travel and only usually has two goalies signed for them and travel with them. And so what do you do? Well, if you were the Zamboni driver, and for those who don't know what that is, a Zamboni is that big machine that cleans the ice after every period. And the Zamboni driver, who was this 42-year-old guy who played rec hockey, all of a sudden, the trainer for the Hurricanes comes running down the hall in Toronto and says, hey, I hear you play goal. And he says, well, yeah, I play goal. And he says, well, how would you like to play in the NHL? Now, without any warm-up or anything, this Zamboni driver puts on his gear and steps into one of the biggest stages in hockey, which is the Air Canada Centre, where the Toronto Maple Leafs play, in front of 20,000 people, and goes into goal. I mean, 1 minute you're cleaning the ice, and the next minute you are the goalie for an NHL team. Now, to be fair, if you saw his face as he was putting on his gear, you would be looking into the eyes of a person who was so scared and beyond scared as he was about to go play in the NHL. 2 days earlier, he'd been playing with his buddies, you know, at 1 a.m. in a rec league, and now he was on the biggest stage for hockey. And the best part is, and I say this only because I'm not a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, is the best part is the Carolina Hurricanes ended up winning that game. Talk about a guy answering the call. And God taking somebody out of nowhere and saying, I've got a plan for you, right? Like, as we listen to that story, you can understand that God is going to take you wherever you are and he's going to use you. And you have to say that when God says, I'm going to use you, no matter if you think it's big or small, in God's eyes, it's great. God called David. God is calling us. And like David, God calls, God also places this, his same call in our lives. We're called to repentance. We're called to service of God. We're called to love God and love others. We're called to a holy life. The call of God is on all who are his followers. Some of us are called to different things. Some of us are called to pastors, and some of us are called to teachers. Others are called to be helpers. And we all have the call of God on our lives. And I need us to understand this, especially as we say, what does it mean for a church to be on mission? And a church to be on God's mission is recognizing that God has said, I want you. You are a follower of God, and God has called you. It's not always easy to follow the call of God in our lives. Sometimes we have to struggle with ourselves before we can really embrace God's call, right? On our own lives. Sometimes we wrestle with the fact that God is calling us to a place that we may not think is the best of places or where we want to be, but God is saying, this is where I want you to be. In many ways, I think back to when God called me into ministry. It was not easy at all, and I struggled for a long time, and I went back and forth in my mind. I had spent 8 years of time in school. It had taken us from small town Saskatchewan, where we were at Briarcrest College, to Jerusalem, where we were there for 3 years, to Toronto, where we had gone another 3 years till I was done my PhD. And everything in my mind said, Luke, you are going to be a professor. And yet, God kept on nudging me, saying, are you sure that's what you want to be? Because I think I've got a different plan for you. And at first, it started with some of the world of academics around me and the opportunities that I may have had. Doors started to shut a bit. Meanwhile, doors for ministry were opening. But I still didn't want to walk through that door. I was still having a tough time reconciling that maybe after 8 years or 9 years of school, I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be in academics. When a door opened for me to become a youth pastor, I wrestled with it for a long time. In fact, I remember even being asked the question of, so why does a youth pastor need a PhD in Old Testament? And I remember answering, I don't know. Like, it sounds like a punchline or a setup to a joke. Like, there should be a punchline after this. But there I was. I'm pretty sure I didn't need a PhD to throw dodgeballs. I'm pretty sure I didn't need a PhD to run events like Jell-O-Palooza or all-nighters or whatever I may be running, especially in Old Testament. But yet every door was opening for ministry, and God saying, just step in and just trust me. Yet the biggest problem, I think, in all of this was myself wrestling with this, the struggle I had with myself before being able to embrace God's call in my life. And the way I think of it, and again, I feel like this episode has a lot of sports analogies in it. And so for those of you who are just like, yay, sports, and don't recognize hockey teams or basketball teams or baseball or whatever sports I've been referencing, my apologies. Next time I will talk about, knitting or crocheting or craft time. And, probably not all of that stuff because I don't know anything about it. But I'll go to my default. We have to see God is like a coach, right? We can either embrace the training, and then more importantly, embrace the training schedule he has for us, or we can forget him and walk away. Are we willing to embrace the training? We sometimes want all the blessings of God without the discipline that goes along with it. Understanding that when God calls us, there's training. There's going to be ups and downs. It's going to take discipline because there's going to be tough times. If we recognize God's call on David's life, and we recognize that the call of God is that same call to David as it is to us, yes, not to be king, but saying, this is the most important thing that I've got for you. No matter whether we see it big or small, God's saying, this is something that is so important to me that I have chosen you to do it. If we can recognize that call on our lives, then there's another very important aspect to the call of God. And I see this now moving from beyond how is God calling us as individuals to how is God calling us as a church. And that is that we need to recognize the call of God on others. Right? All of Israel recognizes the call on David's life. When the leaders of Israel assembled at David's headquarters in Hebron, they acknowledged that David was God's choice to be king. In fact, they tell him at the end of verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said to you, you shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel." The leaders recognized that God had called David to be their king. God had empowered David to be a mighty warrior. They knew that God had called him. And so with that being said, verse 3 tells us that so all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. But I mean, looking back, God had Samuel anoint King David before, and he had been anointed king of the southern kingdom, southern part of the nation, as recorded in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. This was because there was an ongoing civil war going on. But now all the elders or leaders of the nation gathered to anoint David as king. They accepted the fact that God had called David to be their king. And through all of that, through all that David had done in leading Israel, even when Saul was king, they realized God had called David. And so this is about us coming alongside others to affirm God's calling in their lives. Now, I know we're not sitting in an auditorium listening to this. I know it's not a Sunday as you're probably listening to this, so I can't say, look to your neighbor to your left and look to your neighbor to your right and look five rows ahead of you or five rows behind you. But there's this beautiful picture of being able to just look around you when we gather as church and say, everyone who is a Christ follower, understand that God has called you, and it's my role, no matter who you are, to also recognize the role that God has called you to. But more importantly, also say, how can I come alongside you? I believe for us to be a church on mission, a big part of this is recognizing the call on God's call on other people's lives. Not just saying, okay, we need to create this new ministry or that new ministry, but saying as a church, we need to come alongside this person and that person as we see God calling them. When I take a look at this and I take a look at, you know, who we are, we realize that the call of God has power. When we are at the center of God's will, we have power from him. When we are where God calls us to be, we have power from him. We can see God's power exercised in our lives, and it's unmistakable. Out of this, David starts conquering strongholds. He conquers the Jebusites. Israel never conquered the city of Israel of Jerusalem, and now they had done that against the Jebusites who had occupied the city. And I mean, you want to talk about trash talk that was happening. You need to just read what the Israelites were being told by the Jebusites. It says that when you look at it, they were making fun of the Israelites. they were saying, you'll never get in here. Even the blind and the lame could keep you out. This is the Jebusite response to Israel showing up saying, we're going to take the city of Jerusalem. But David captured the fortress which is now called the City of David, if you've been to Jerusalem. And it's outside the original city walls, or the city walls of what we see as the old city of Jerusalem. We see the original spot where David and the Israelites conquered Jerusalem from the Jebusites. There's this recognizing not only that God is in control, but God is making the calls. Are we willing to acknowledge that we have power from him when we're at the center of his will? And are we willing to acknowledge that we have power from him when we acknowledge that he's making the calls? And I believe when we do this, we can see God's power exercised in the life of ourselves and of our neighbors, and out of that through the church. It's that domino effect, right? One starts to fall, and then all of a sudden more dominoes start to fall, and it starts to catch on, right? And all of a sudden it just keeps on going and going, and it branches out. And that's what I see it for us, is recognizing the call of God on our lives as individuals, recognizing the call of God on our lives as a church, but also recognizing the call of God in the lives of those around us. And what I think is important for us in this is being able to practically say to people, you know, where is God calling you? And then what are you going to do about it? And actually be able to start wrestling with some of these answers. Because sometimes it's going to take that time as we struggle with ourselves before being able to recognize God's true calling. But the thing I like about us as a church, and where I see us going as church and as Christ followers, is one that we're allowed to wrestle with some of these things. We're allowed to struggle with some of these things. It's very reasonable. But we're also supposed to come alongside others as they wrestle and help them work through it and affirm them and affirm God's calling on their lives. We can conquer strongholds with God's power. There's no doubt about that. What are obstacles that seem insurmountable are laid to rubble when we recognize that God will conquer those strongholds. And so I guess even as we look at this week ahead of us, whatever day you're listening to this, I guess you could be listening to any day of the week, but as you look forward to the future, what strongholds do you face? What insurmountable obstacles lay in your way to accomplishing the will of God on your life? And have you ever seen God move when you recognize God's calling and you act on it? That's the stuff we need to share. God calls us. Others recognize the call of God on our lives, and it's affirming. The call of God has power, and so what is God calling you to do today? When I was last down in California, the question we said is, what does life look like outside the walls of the church? As we start to discover the neighborhood, maybe even for the first time, or rediscover the neighborhoods where we live, and what is God? What gift has God given you, and how are you going to use it? And part of that is recognizing God's call. And I heard so many ideas and so many great stories from people who just go to coffee shops and have conversations with people. People who use their gift of pottery and share the story of God's love through what they do, and as a place where this is a gift they have. And as they teach it, they're able to just work of how God has molded them into something that God wants them to be. I mean, just so many ideas, and I love hearing these stories as people wrote me. And so I think for us today is saying, again, what are we struggling with and what obstacles stand in the way of really accepting God's calling? What is it that you need to fully recognize the power of God and the call, in the call of God? And as we wrestle with that, and next week we're going to look at it, another part of this and really build off this, is what do we start to do once we recognize that call? And so I'm going to leave it at there. I think I've probably been about half an hour or so. And so hopefully you stuck around and you're listening to the end of this podcast. I should have said there's a big secret or a prize giveaway. I don't even know how that would work over a podcast, you know, at the end, so you could listen all the way through. But for those of you who've listened all the way through to this, thank you for listening and joining me kind of in this journey as we really start to discover God's call for us as a church and God's call for us as individuals, really to build some momentum for the future, so we're able to just hit the ground running when God calls. The red phone is ringing for every Christ follower. Are we willing to answer the phone? Not knowing where he may call us, not knowing what his timing is, but knowing that it's God calling. I'm looking forward to exploring this next week. Although next week, I believe, we've got a special guest. I don't know if I said I was going to have a special guest this week. Next week and next episode, we're going to have a special guest. Sarah's going to join me. We're going to share a bit about ourselves. We're going to have a conversation a bit about our ministry life and maybe even a bit about our own journey and share kind of how God's calling has worked when we've answered it and how it hasn't worked when we haven't answered it. And so really share some of these practical thoughts and really my goal is for you to get to know me more, you to get Sarah a bit more, really get to know our hearts, and understand that what I'm talking about here, it's what I'm passionate about. I love talking about who we're called to be as a church, as individuals, and I'm excited to see where God is going to be leading us. So take care, and I look forward to sharing next time about God and his church and God's mission for us. Take care.